enforcement would make it do. We had someone lined up to meet, but she was sick, didn't get to come. So we'll just go right into the sermon this morning. Drive-in service. Obviously, the first time I've ever done anything like this, probably the first drive-in church service you've ever been to, but you all, if you're hearing me or if you're not, you can turn on the radio station down there and it comes through your speakers. Good to see everyone, and we'll get started. You got Bibles this morning, we'll turn. Get my picture, got blue away here. First Kings chapter 19. Your story about Elijah. And, I had a question to any of us this morning. I know that obviously we're all still in fear, still in uncertainties, not knowing what's going to happen and all these things. And it's normal. And, the Bible talks about Elijah being a man of like passions as we are. He had the same insecurities. He had the same fears. He had the same not knowing what was going to happen. He was scared at times. And these verses today we read where Elijah was on the run. Even the promises of God had come to him, but Elijah was still on the run and was fearing for his life. And if I had a title of the message, it would be, "Why Are You Here?" That was a question God asked Elijah, is why are you here? Obviously, we know why you're here in our presence this morning, but why are you in the state this morning that you're in, as far as the spiritual state or the emotional state or the fearful state? Why are you there this morning? And there's some good answers. Obviously, we're going through a time of a pandemic that none of us have ever lived through. There's not anybody under the sound of my voice that has ever lived through a time as our country and all is in right now. And I've never lived through a time of trying to keep pages still as I'm in right now. But we're making it happen. I saw the thing on Facebook that mentioned of how you say amen with your car, you flash your lights. But I told Stephanie, if lights start flashing, I'm going to start laughing. So if you want to say amen, just holler out your window. I'll hear you. But we'll get started. 1 Kings chapter number 19. Again, very, very familiar story. If you know, I'll give you a little background. Jezebel had threatened Elijah's life. And Elijah was on the run, and he came into a cave. And in that cave, God came to him and began to talk to him. I'll begin in verse number 9 of chapter 19. It says, "And it came thither into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. And said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, throw down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, a great and strong wind, rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And Elijah said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I even only am left, they seek my life to take it away. The Lord said unto him, Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Father, we thank you today for this word. God, we thank you for everyone that's gathered, God, in these uncertain times. We thank you for making a way that we can still be together and still be apart. God, we ask you to touch this morning this sermon. For there's one here that is fearful. There's one here that is not understanding what's happening. One here that don't know why they're where they're at this morning. I pray you give them answers. And these scriptures we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want you to see the problem of Elijah. It's the same problem that we have this morning. We don't know what's going to happen. We are fearful. We are being threatened this very day. Our whole lives have been turned upside down. We can still go to Walmart, but we can't go to a restaurant and sit and eat. We're fearful to go to a doctor's office, to even stand closer than 6 feet to somebody. So we're truly at a place that we don't understand maybe why we're here. And it's the same problem that people has had from Elijah on forward, that we know God's promises, we have trusted his promises, but still we're able to get to this place of fear. And it's a scary place. It's a place that we don't want to be, but because we've never been here before, maybe we don't know what to do. So the problem with Elijah was he definitely was afraid. Now you read in verse number 3, it says, "And when he saw that he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there." Jezebel was after him. She had told him, "Before this day, before this time's over, I'm going to kill you. You're going to die because what have happened in the past." If I get there, we'll never get done. But she was after him. So undoubtedly, he was very scared. In verse number 4 also, you'll see that he was depressed. It says, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. And he said, 'It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's.'" Not only was Elijah afraid, Elijah was depressed. Now, we all may be joking about this some, but being at home for all these days, I promise you, there are some depression going on. You may not want to admit it, but it's okay to admit. It's okay to be depressed sometimes, but he was depressed. He did not want to live. He didn't want to go any further. He was having him a pity party, and nobody would join. And have you ever been there today? Have you ever been at a point where you was all down and out? You didn't want to live. You didn't want to do anything. You didn't want to talk to anybody. You didn't even want to interact with anyone. And you're just all by yourself. And you're just proud to be there, although you're saying that you want to die. Now, have you ever thought about this, that Elijah was here saying that he wanted to die, but yet he was in a cave hid because he was running from Jezebel? So obviously he didn't want to die. He was just going through a part of depression. And me and you find ourselves there a bunch. And if we're not careful, we won't only see the problem of Elijah, but we'll see the pouting of Elijah. I know any of y'all never pout. I know if you have any children, you know all about pouting. We have figured out, and young children figure out from a very young age, that if you'll pout or you'll cry, you might can get your way. And it's just normal to do that. Our girls still do it. They want their way. They start pouting, complaining. They go get under their juniper tree and, you don't care about me. You don't do this and that. And I tell you what, I just might as well die. So they begin pouting. And in verse number 10, we begin seeing this. He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain the prophets with a sword. And I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away." Now, when you're pouting, when you have your own pity party, there's one word that you will say more than any other word, and it's the smallest, one of the smallest ones in our English language, is "I." Anytime we're pouting, it's because I'm focusing all on myself. I'm focusing on what's wrong with me, why have I got to be here, why have I got to be doing this, and we've all said that in the last couple of weeks. We probably said, "Lord, I just want to go out and eat. Why have I got to be in the house?" Well, it's not just you, it's a complete world that's got to be in the house in this quarantine, so you're not alone. But anytime we do that, we begin noticing that it's I that comes into focus. If you'll notice in this scripture, in verse 10 and 14, where he gives God the same explanation, he says "I" three times. He tells God, I, Lord, it's I, it's oh me, and oh my. So we begin pouting, just like Elijah did. Now, you don't have to look very far on your Facebook posts and all this to see that some people are pouting through this. Some people are saying, you know, all kind of talk going on. There's some of the greatest coronavirus specialists in the world are on Facebook. They know what to do about it and how to handle it and things like this. I think we've even given God a little advice lately and tried to tell him maybe how he should handle this pandemic and what should be done. But we need to understand something. That God may be bringing us through this thing to take the focus off ourselves. I began thinking when this thing started, the thought come to my mind that maybe we're going to see some good come out of this thing. And I tell you what I've seen so far. I've seen people wanting to come to a church service that's willing to park in their cars and listen to me holler and yell for about 25 or 30 minutes. I see a people who are posting scriptures online. I see a people who are starting to take the focus off themselves. I see churches who are starting to take the inward focus off and focus on the outside world. And this pandemic may become one of the greatest blessings the United States has ever seen. Maybe even the whole world. But we still pout. We still complain. We still focus on ourselves if we're not careful. But I want you to notice that even in the prophet Elijah, even in his pouting, we begin seeing the power of God. Now, there's no greater power in the world than the power of God. He is over everything. There's nothing, no being more powerful than the Almighty God. He controls every single thing. Some people say, well, maybe this thing is out of hand. Maybe God has lost control. But I want to assure you today that God has not lost control of this coronavirus. Matter of fact, for this thing even to come to be, he had to allow it. My mind can't understand his ways, but his ways is higher than my ways. But I know that his power is awesome. His power is great. And we begin seeing that power displayed to Elijah. So after God asks Elijah, what are you doing here? He gives him a commandment. He says, go out of this cave and stand in the front. I want to show you something. So the Bible says Elijah goes out, and as he's standing there, that something begins to happen. Verse number 11, he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, the great and strong wind rent the mountains, break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. You begin seeing the great power of God. How many people remember the great hurricane that came just a few years ago now? It blew all kind of things away. We see it happen on the Gulf a lot, or tornado yesterday, I think, in Jonesboro, Arkansas. We saw a great demonstration of God's power in the wind. It is so powerful that it can actually break rocks in two, is how strong the wind is. And my friend, that is a manifestation of the power of God, of how strong he is. And then an earthquake. There's been earthquakes all through the land throughout the beginning of time. They can find that earthquakes has shook the earth. And buildings, it can make buildings fall. And again, rocks can break and trees can fall down. And this earthquake is just a great power. But it says he wasn't in an earthquake. Verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire. You know, a fire is one of the most destructive things that we can have. If you remember Australia just this past year, a lot of the nation burned. We see it in California a lot. We see it in many national forests that wildfires come through, and they can completely destroy animals. They can destroy trees and all kind of things. The fire is a consuming power of God. But have you ever thought about this? Of all those strong things that God has, the strongest one is his voice. Is his voice. I would plan to turn to Genesis chapter 1, but my Bible turns its own pages here with this powerful force of God, the wind. But in Genesis chapter 1, six times in that verse, it says, God said. God said, let us make light. And the light came forth. What power there is that got this light we see out here today that's put off by this great sunshine, it was created by the very voice of God. And everything he created, all the animals, everything that he did, he said, let us. He spoke it, and it happened. Now, I want you to think about this. Of all those great powers that Elijah was being able to see in front of that cave, nothing moved him to the point of understanding like when he heard the still, small voice of God. I looked up those words, the still, small. The still part of that verse has a feminine meaning. In other words, it means soft, kind of like Landon, how he's soft. It's got a feminine meaning of soft, and it was a gentle speaking that God spoke. Now, why do you think that there was such a great power in a gentle voice? I believe Elijah understood something. The God of all this power that had all these things in hand that could speak and worlds come to be, could speak and stars would be in the skies, and could speak and oceans go to where they're supposed to go, and could speak everything into existence. This God who was so powerful and had that great voice would speak to him in a still, small voice. How many of y'all remember when you would be hurt or you'd be sick and you'd go to your mother and she'd put you up in her lap and she would begin patting you on the back and begin singing maybe or begin speaking softly to you and you'd just calm down immediately? We see babies do it all the time. They can be all upset and then mama gets them again speaking and the baby just quiets and it calms down. It's that still, small voice. But here, God, of all the powers he had, this still small voice is what caught Elijah. It's what got Elijah, and it changed Elijah forever. And I began thinking this week, this message had been on my heart all week, and began thinking what I was going to do with it. You know, we saw things happen recently that we completely don't understand, including the fires over there in Australia, including the hurricanes that come, the tornadoes that come, and all the things we've seen. Now we've got the pandemic around the whole world, and we begin saying, is God trying to speak? Is God trying to speak? And there's no doubt that these things happen so God can get our attention. But my friend, one thing I want you to understand this morning, when God speaks to your heart, it's in a still, small voice. Still, small voice. It's calming. It's reassuring. And it's so important that we understand of how God speaks to us and why God will speak. Now think about this also. Of all those things I mentioned, of all the fire, the water that's powerful, and all the great powers of God, they are destructive. If not harnessed, they are destructive. Wind, we need wind. We know that in the old days they used it to power ships across the ocean. We need fire. Fire also cleanses. It's got a great, they burn forests to make it grow again and grow better and be more healthy. We need earthquakes. I'm sure they've got some useful thing. But listen, if all of them's not harnessed by God, they become destructive. Destructive forces. How amazing is it that the most powerful thing he has, which is his voice, is also the calmest thing to one of his children? I began thinking about how it must be to hear the very voice of God. You see, this morning, if you're here and you've been saved by the grace of God, you've had to hear his voice. You've had to hear that still, small voice, that Holy Spirit speaking to your heart and mind, and how it's through that voice that we come to know God. We come to who he is, know the needs for us. And I think a lot of times that we want to see something great. We desire to see God move in lightning, or we'll speak to God and say, God, I need some help. I need you to move. Give me a sign, we'll say. And we know what the Bible says about that. But we'll do that. We'll say, God, I just want to see a great power. I want to see a great thing. I want you to understand something. The greatest thing you can interact with God on is when he speaks to your heart in a still, small voice. That still, small voice, how great it can be when we heard it. God's power is awesome. We can see him work. But the strongest is still his voice. Elijah heard a still, small voice. Let me show you the purpose for that still, small voice. I've already mentioned it some, that God speaks to us to draw us to himself. That's how we are saved. The still, small voice speaks to our heart. We start to communicate with God. We confess our sins. He forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But then there's a purpose. We have a great purpose for God speaking to our heart. Just as Elijah had a purpose when God spoke to him. God had a call on Elijah's life. Each and every one of you here this morning has a call. You have a call from God to do something for him. I don't know what yours is. I struggle with mine. I struggled with mine, and finally he got my attention, and I gave in. But every single one of us still has this call, has this purpose. Have you ever wondered what your purpose is? Have you ever wondered why you may be here? Why you may be in this place? What purpose is it? What's the purpose behind where you're at spiritually, where you're at emotionally, maybe where you're at mentally, where you're at physically? What is the purpose behind it? I can tell you what it is. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Your purpose, when you find it, will be something to do with the kingdom of God. It may look like it's not a big part. You may not be preaching. You may not be teaching. But when you find your purpose, it will be for the kingdom of God. It will be for the enlargement of his kingdom, the edifying of his kingdom. It will be something about the kingdom of God. And here Elijah began seeing his purpose. Verses 15 and 17, if I can get back here with the wind blowing all over. It says, the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi, thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat and of Beoma shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room or in thy stead. So Elijah is given instructions of what his purpose is to be. After this still small voice got a hold of him and he understood that who God was, then he began to understand his purpose. His purpose was to go call. One was to be a king. One was to be a prophet. His call was to go to anoint them as God had told him. So listen, the reason Elijah had gotten into the point of his life of where he was depressed and he was thought the whole world was against him, God was using for a greater purpose. The reason you are where you're at today, whatever the case may be, you may have way more problems going on than just this coronavirus, but I promise you that you have a great purpose if you'll stop and be still and listen to God. That's what I've been seeing through this whole thing as I've studied Scripture and Scripture of where people was in trouble, where God's people was in battles, where God's people was in a time they didn't know what to do. Every single time, there's a word mentioned of be still. In other words, calm down, get to a place where you can hear, and just calm down and listen to God's voice, that still small voice. He will always lead you the right way, and He will lead you towards this purpose. If you ask people today, what's the number one thing you would love to know? If you could ask any question to God, what would it be? Most people will say, I want to know my purpose. I want to know why I am here. I want to know why He created me, what that's for. Listen, it's been given to you in 66 books. The Bible says there's to be no new revelations. I don't have a word for you from God that's never been said before, because the only words I have that mean anything is the Word of God. If anybody else tells you they do, then they make a Bible a liar. It says there's no new revelation. There's no new message from God. It's all given right here in these books that He's preserved for all these years, for each and every one of us. We see God's purpose. Elijah had that call. Have you ever thought about, in this story, God's providential care? Of all the things that Elijah went through in his life, you remember he was fed by ravens. He saw the oil that never ran out there with the widow where to make the cake. It was the water was brought, the stream and everything. I mean, he was just took care of by God all the time. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you ever remember a time when God has forsaken you? Do you remember any time when God has left you? Do you remember any time when God has just said, you know what, I'm done with you. I'm through. I think you would have to answer that question honestly and say no. There's never been a time when God has said, I'm done with you. You see, Elijah done everything we preach that you shouldn't do. Although he was a man of faith, we know he was a man that trusted God and God used him in a mighty way. We see him running, hiding in a cave, fearful for his life. And those of us that are spiritual, we think we'd say, well, what in the world is this great man doing hiding from this old woman Jezebel? And what purpose could they be in that? And why in the world would God use somebody such as this that's so fearful? I remember Gideon. When God called Gideon, Gideon was hid in a place threshing that he shouldn't have been threshing, in a wine press there. And God told him, the first time God ever come to him, He calls him a mighty man of valor. Gideon said, whoa, wait a minute, you got me mixed up. I'm a coward, I'm hiding right now. And you say, listen, what God is telling us this morning, He sees in us what we don't see in ourselves. And He allows these things to happen and come upon us so we get into a place where we can truly begin hearing His voice and seeing our purpose and understanding God's providential care. You're going to see God's care through these times you're going through. You may have done seen them. It comes to the hands and feet of His people. We're to reach out to our community in this time. If people need food, we should be able to supply it. People need water, we should be able to supply it. If they need any kind of other help, the church needs to be here for them. God has always provided, and He always will provide. Let me read these last verses if I can get here, and we'll begin to close. Verses 16 through 18, God begins telling Elijah about His great providence He's had on his life. I can't flip over there, I've lost my page, so I'll just tell you what I remember. He had showed him, or told him in that, after he got his attention with that still small voice, He told him what he was to do. He was to anoint the kings. He was to find Elisha. But all in doing that, have you ever thought about this? Here was Elijah hiding in the cave. He was having his pity party. He was pouting. And all along, God already had things lined up. He had Elijah there, plowed in a field, ready to go. Matter of fact, as soon as Elijah got up, the next verses we see, he found Elisha, and Elisha dropped everything he was doing and came and was a great friend to him, was right there with him through everything. Not only that, but God tells him that I have 7,000 in Israel that have not bowed. Elisha thought he was the only man of God left, and God had 7,000 that had not bowed waiting to come help him. You see, we may think we're all alone. And as we get to this place of our pity parties and our poutings and our problems, we tend to just focus on how bad it is and God has done with me. I don't have any help. There's none of anything. I think we've seen in the last couple of weeks that there's more of us than there are of them. There's more with us because we have the Lord God Almighty. Not only that, we have one another. Look around you this morning. This is just a small example. You go to churches all over our county, this very thing is happening. Maybe they're not gathered together, but their pastor is standing. They're preaching from a pulpit, but it's being live streamed probably through Facebook or YouTube or something, and people are praying for one another. And listen, I want you to understand something before you leave today, that God knows you have a problem. God knows you have a purpose. Maybe he's putting you through this time to show you his power and his providential care. Because you see, as we go along life, we learn how to face battles from battles we faced in the past. And we get stronger. And we get more powerful. There's not a more powerful source on this earth outside the power of God than the church. And I think we're seeing the church come together at a time such as we've not seen before. But what I want to leave you with today, I want you to leave here being assured that God's got a purpose for this thing and God's got your providential care. Your best is what he wants for you. Whatever it is, we think we know what we need. God knows what we need. We think we know what would be best for me, but God knows what's best for me. Think about how Elijah must have felt when he understood that God had 7,000 people saved over there that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. 7,000 of them, and he thought he was alone. I think there's been people through this thing so far that has thought nobody cared about them. And then somebody would call and check on them. And then somebody would go by, which we can't really go by and see now. We have to go to the, let them come to the door and speak to them through that distance. But just knowing that you're not alone and that God has a purpose. I want to ask you to do something through the rest of this week. Get you some time. Nine, you can't use that excuse now, I don't have time. You've got all kinds of time. You've got time that you didn't ever. You don't believe me, we got time. Have y'all seen some of these videos? There's too much time on people's hands. I've seen men dressed up like women singing and dancing and all kind of things going on. These people are bored. They have time. I want you to get you a set time through this thing. I don't know how long it lasts, and I want you to keep it going, that you get along with God. You see, people think, well, Elijah was hidden in this cave. How bad it must have been. Listen, I believe Elijah went to that cave because he knew what Mount Horeb was. It was a mount of God. It's where God spoke with Moses. I believe Elijah went to this cave even though he was fearful, expecting to hear something from God, although he may not know what. You need to take some time and get into your spot, a quiet spot, a cave if it be, where you can hear that still, small voice of God. I'm talking about that voice that you know has to be God. You know it's not anything else. That it's God. If you'll do that, you'll come to an understanding such as Elijah did. You see, if you'll go back and read those verses, through the fire, through the earthquake, through the wind, nothing got his attention but the still small voice. When he heard the voice of God, he wrapped his head in his coat, or his mantle, the Bible says. He understood the glory of God. He wasn't able to look upon it when he understood truly who God is. If you'll get along with God and spend some quiet time, you too will come to find out who God truly is. Again, I'm glad you're with us. We are glad we'd be able to do this for you. We plan on doing it next week also. We've got the transmitter thing here. We'll continue to keep it. There are some boxes up here if you feel led to give to New Harmony Baptist Church, and your tithes or whatever it is. If you want to come forth at this time, I'm going to pray, then we will be dismissed. You're welcome to come forward, put your money in there, whatever you feel led to do. Again, we're glad you worship with us this morning. Ask you to come back next week, and after this pandemic's over, I hope we see the houses of God, not just this one, but all of them, full of people understanding something. Listen, I thought this morning how I've taken it for granted. How many of y'all have been guilty of saying before, I have to get up and go to church? Boy, at this point, wouldn't you love to be able to get together and to hug on one another and to love on one another and be around one another? We're tired of being apart. But when it's over, I think God's going to use this time for the best there has been in a long time. Father, we come to you today. Thank you for this time. God, we thank you for the blessings. God, we thank you for the ones who saw fit to come out, want to hear more about your word and worship you this morning. God, we pray that you would speak and this virus would be gone. God, I know your timing's perfect and we trust it. God, we ask that you protect our people from it. We have people in our congregations and our communities that work on the front lines of this stuff, that's taking care of patients, that's in public offices or whatever it is. God, I pray you give them the knowledge, the understanding of how to lead, how to take care of people. And Lord, most of all, let them hear that still, small voice. God, this morning, I thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do, and these blessings we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen.